My text this morning is the 14th verse of Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Solomon is the human writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. He identifies himself in the very first verse of the book. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. He is the preacher. Besides being the king, he is the preacher. Ecclesiastes means preacher. As the preacher, he has been sent out by God. As the preacher, he has been given the word of God. And as the preacher, he has been sent by God with his word to the people of God. The message of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes is the vanity of earthly life. The vanity of earthly life lived apart from God. Verses 2 through 4 of the first chapter. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Earthly life is vain. Vanity of vanities. Not earthly life, mind you, in itself, but earthly life lived apart from God. Earthly life lived in separation from God. Apart from God, life is vain. Altogether meaningless. Without any purpose, without any enduring, real joy. Not life lived to the fullest. Not labor, abundant labor. Not riches, not pleasure, not drunkenness. Nothing can satisfy. There is only one who can satisfy, and that is God. This is exactly the folly of the unbelieving man. The folly of the unbelieving man is highlighted in the book of Ecclesiastes. Throughout the book, as is the case in this seventh chapter, the preacher contrasts the wise man on the one hand and the fool on the other hand. Wisdom and folly are set over against each other. It is folly, sheer folly, to live life apart from God. Folly to suppose that there is joy in this life apart from God. Folly to suppose that there is anything worth living for except God. The wise man, the man who is truly wise and who lives out of his wisdom, lives his life before the face of God. For God. To the glory of God. And God's blessing on that man. His happiness. Real joy. Fulfillment. In our text, Solomon applies the true spiritual wisdom of the child of God to the circumstances, the diverse circumstances of everyday life. He applies this wisdom to circumstances of prosperity on the one hand and to circumstances of adversity on the other hand. These are the two extremes of earthly life. The response of the child of God to both sets of earthly circumstances, the response of the child of God is controlled by wisdom. The response of the child of God, therefore, to these diverse circumstances is a believing response. That believing response, the wise preacher takes note of in the words of our text this morning. This is an appropriate text for our annual Thanksgiving Day service. I call your attention to a believing response to prosperity and adversity. Let's ask and answer three questions that will develop the truth of the Word of God in the text. First of all, a believing response to what? Secondly, a believing response what? What is the response? And finally, a believing response, how possible? In the text, Solomon speaks of days of prosperity and days of adversity. By prosperity, he is referring to those times in our life when things go well, when from an earthly and natural point of view, things go well for us in the world. These are the times in our life when we walk on a straight path, to use the language of the previous verse, verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? The straight way is also the way of prosperity. We have experienced, all of us have, most of us do now, experience days of prosperity. Things go well from a natural point of view. There are no bumps in our road, no sharp turns, no unexpected and serious obstacles. Our way is a straight way. Times in our life when we enjoy physical health and strength. Times in our life when physically and financially we are well off, or at least have our necessities cared for. Times in our life when we have what we need personally. We have what we need as a family. We have what we need as a congregation. We have what we need as a denomination. Times when there are no serious problems that we are facing in our personal lives. No serious problems upsetting the family or the marriage. We have abundant food, adequate clothing and shelter, enough money to pay the bills. Times when there is peace in the land, when the economy, if not flourishing, at least is adequate. A decent paying job. A time when our business is prospering. Times when we are able to bring up our children without any hindrance from our enemies or from the government, and we're able to provide for the basic needs of our children. We're able to send them to the Christian schools and to support the cause of the Christian schools. We're able to pay the tuition. Times when we enjoy the privilege of public assembly regularly on the Lord's Day to hear the preaching of the gospel and to fellowship with the people of God. But there are also times of adversity. He speaks of those times too in the text. Days of prosperity and days of adversity. Times in our lives when it's not the straight path on which we are walking, but the crooked path of verse 13. Times when life is not all joy and peace and plenty. Times of hardship and suffering and loss. Times when the crop is not a bumper crop, a meager crop at best, or no crop at all, or a crop, but the prices of the market require us to endure a loss. Times when the economy takes a nosedive. Times when we aren't able to work, not able to work as many hours as we had been working, are capable of working. Our hours are cut. Times when perhaps even we're laid off. We've lost our job. Times when business drops off or business becomes so bad that it's necessary to close our doors. Times when we don't have the money, not just to buy maybe the birthday presents and the Christmas presents, but not even to put the necessities on the table. Not able to pay our bills. Times of sickness, poverty, times of loss, of death. Times in which we face death ourselves or must deal with the death of a loved one. Times of old age, with all of the aches and pains and all of the losses that are the reality of old age. Times when things are not what we would like them to be in the family, or even in our marriage. Not what we would like them to be in the church, or in the denomination. Times of war. Times of persecution. Times that leave us hurting, weary, discouraged. Both sets of circumstances, prosperity and adversity, Solomon traces to the hand of God. That clearly is his teaching in the text. He teaches us in the text the sovereignty of God over the affairs of our earthly lives. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also has set the one over against the other. God has set the one over against the other. Which is simply to say, God is the one who sends prosperity, and God is the one who also sends adversity. That's also his teaching in that 13th verse. Consider the work of God, he says. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? God makes our way straight. But God also makes our way a crooked way. Prosperity comes from the hand of God. That's the fundamental truth that the believer acknowledges. That's our confession together this morning at this Thanksgiving Day service. That fundamental truth of everyday life. God is the one who gives us our prosperity. We don't come together this morning to congratulate ourselves on our prosperity. Our confession together this morning is that God is the one who has prospered our way. The prosperity that we do enjoy, we enjoy from the hand of God. Let's remind ourselves of that this afternoon. When we sit down to tables that are laden with the bounties of the good things of this earth, God is the one who puts the food on our tables. God is the one who gives us these good gifts. Impress that upon your children. Take the time to talk about that with your grandchildren at dinner this afternoon. But not only prosperity, also adversity comes from the hand of God. That too is the teaching of the text. Adversity is not cruel fate. Adversity is not accident or chance. Adversity is not the luck of the draw or the roll of the dice. Adversity is not from the devil. But adversity, as much as prosperity, comes to us from the hand of God. God sends adversity to His people. Not just adversity generally, but our adversity. The adversities that we experience as believers. The adversities that we share as a congregation. That's the text. That's verse 15 also. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. To his people, to a just man, God sends adversity. That's our confession. And if it is our confession, as it is this morning, that God is the one who sends prosperity and God is the one who sends adversity, and our confession this morning is that all of life's circumstances come to us from the hand of God. If the two extremes are to be reckoned by us as coming from God's hand, then everything that we experience, everything in between those two extremes, all of life's circumstances come from the hand of God. This is wisdom. This is the beginning of wisdom. The acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God, not just in salvation, that to be sure, but also in the circumstances of our life in the world. In the light of that fundamental truth that both prosperity and adversity come to us from the hand of God, the believer is able to respond appropriately to both sets of circumstances. What that believing response is and ought to be, Solomon teaches us in the text. The believing response to prosperity is to be joyful. That's the text. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. That joyful response includes several things. It includes, first of all, the legitimate enjoyment of prosperity. For if our prosperity comes to us from God, is God's gift to us, if we receive our prosperity from the hand of our Heavenly Father, then it follows that we who are His children may legitimately enjoy these good gifts that He gives us in the form of prosperity. And that's confirmed by what He teaches in verses 18 and 19 of the chapter. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise man more than mighty men which are in the city. Except that's our chapter, and I meant chapter 5. Look at chapter 5 with me, verses 18 and 19. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. From God it is implied. It is his portion from God. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. The enjoyment, the legitimate enjoyment of the prosperity that God gives. Second, joy in our prosperity includes thankfulness to God for the prosperity that He has given and that we enjoy. Thankfulness for our joy is joy before God, the one who has given us our prosperity. Joy, therefore, is thankfulness and gratitude. And third, this joy in prosperity includes the use of this prosperity not first of all for ourselves, certainly not primarily for ourselves, but for God, for the glory of God, for the support of the kingdom of God. God must be first, even in our enjoyment of prosperity. And if God is first, then we will use our prosperity for God. That's Christian stewardship. That's the use of the things of this world with a clear understanding that these things are not our own to do with as we please, but they, and we with them, belong to God. The believing response to adversity is also indicated in the text. Negatively, the believing response to adversity is not anger. Verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Against God is the idea there. For anger rusteth in the bosom of fools. Neither is our believing response to adversity discontent and dissatisfaction. Verse 10. Say not thou, what is the cause? Say not to God, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. But positively, the believing response to adversity is patience. Verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Patience, that is the quiet enduring of adversity, because we understand that our adversity is the will of God. Quietness, contentment in the way of God. The believing response to prosperity and adversity together, the one response to both sets of circumstances, is that we put our trust in God, the one who stands behind both the circumstances of prosperity and the circumstances of adversity in our lives. That's the idea of the last part of the text. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. We are taught to put our trust in the Lord and to commit our lives, all our present circumstances and all our future, into the hand of God. Our life can change so quickly. Who here this morning does not know that? If we cannot be certain of what will befall us, we are driven then to put our trust in God, to commit our lives into the hand of God, the lives of the members of our family, the care and keeping of the whole congregation and all God's people everywhere. We commit into the hand of our gracious Heavenly Father, the God of prosperity and the God of adversity. How is this possible? It isn't. It isn't. It isn't possible for us in ourselves. You know yourself, and I know myself. And anyone here this morning who knows himself or herself truly knows how impossible it is by nature. we don't respond with a believing response to circumstances of prosperity. Neither do we respond with a believing response to circumstances of adversity. This is possible only by grace. By grace and by the power of the grace of God working in us. By the power of His grace, God causes us to see that we do not deserve our prosperity. What we deserve is adversity. Not just earthly adversity. Not just the adversities that are the pains and sorrows, the losses and disappointments of our earthly life. That's not the adversity that we deserve. The greatest of all adversities, the adversity of the suffering of the wrath of God in the eternal fire of hell. That's the adversity that every one of us here deserves. Because we are sinners, rebels against God, haters of God. This is true wisdom. This is the beginning of wisdom, that we understand who we are and what it is that we deserve by nature. The grace that God works in us, that is the source of the believing response both in prosperity and in adversity, is rooted in the cross of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His death, in the adversity that He experienced on Calvary's cross in our stead, and as our representative, we enjoy prosperity, the greatest of all possible prosperity, eternal life and salvation with God. There is our joy. There all our prosperity. And then if every earthly thing is taken away, we have nothing. And in the end, our own lives as well, we are still a joyful and thankful people because we have what no man in no earthly circumstance can touch: our salvation with God in Jesus Christ. This grace, the grace that is the root of a believing response to prosperity and adversity, God works through the preaching of the gospel. Our text is the instruction of the preacher. The preacher. It is under the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel that proclaims the cross and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, God's great good gift to us in the Savior, that He works in us. A proper and a believing response to our earthly circumstances. Apart from the preaching of the gospel, we would never respond appropriately, either to circumstances of prosperity or circumstances of adversity. Only under the preaching of the Word does the Spirit of God work, calling forth a believing response in prosperity and in adversity. But then, under the preaching of the Word, this is the response, the believing response that He works in the hearts and in the lives of us His people. Thankfulness in our prosperity. Patience in our adversity. And with regard to the uncertain future, that we commit into the hands of our gracious Heavenly Father. This is our response. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts this morning. Work by the power of thy sovereign grace this believing response, whether to circumstances of prosperity that we are presently enjoying or to circumstances of adversity that we are experiencing. And thus may we show ourselves in the midst of this world to be the wise children of God. Forgive our sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing for Christ's sake. Amen.